be here. Is my wife around or is she going AWOL? She's gone. Oh, well. Hey, let me give this back to you then, mate. I think there's a theme that I really want to tap into. I think it ties in with the message that God gave me for today. But I actually want to start with connecting it to the worship that we just had. And then what we're talking about in terms of God coming and offering hope. And I just had a strong sense that actually God wanted to deposit hope in each of our lives today. And so I don't know each of you. I don't know what situations are going on for you right now. But I just want you to call to mind an area of your life where you would like a deposit of hope. Does that language make sense, or am I like being some cryptic person? Okay, so just call to mind some aspect of your life where you're like, God, I could really do with some hope right there. Holy Spirit, will you just move amongst us now? Awaken our physical senses to your presence. And by faith, we just say yes, God, to the hope you have for us. Yes, God, to the faith that you would indeed give us hope and see that situation, those circumstances, whatever it is, change. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's just abundantly clear to me as we worshipped, as we were with the transition, that God was like, I want to deposit hope. I really want to release hope over this house. I really want to see the lives of individuals filled and infused with hope so that actually we might radiate and shine. You know, we're called to be a city on a hill. We're called to be, and I'm going to be inclusive because I'm part of the body of Christ, whether I'm on this side of the hill or that side of the hill. I'm called to be part of a city on a hill, and I'm called to shine and radiate the love of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
It's really kind of difficult to radiate love and excitement for life when the most conscious area of my life is not filled with hope. If the things I'm most aware of are actually hopeless, if the things I'm most aware of are actually areas where I feel despondent or I feel let down or there's a sense of never going to be able to walk into what I'm actually wanting or supposed to walk into, then if that's my experience, then actually people look at me and go, let's not ask him how he's doing today. You know that? You know where you see somebody and you're like, actually, I don't think I want to ask them how they're doing today in case they tell me. Have you ever had that experience? There are moments where I love really well. And I think I'm really gracious. And there are moments just in my personality where I'm like, actually, I don't have that love for you right now to ask you how you're doing. I can see something's not right. And I'm backing up. I can see it, but I'm not in that spot myself where actually I'm going to be able to bring something. There have been times where I'm busy and I'm like, you know what? Busy can wait. I'll step towards the person. There are other times where it's like, if I go and hang out with you for 30 seconds, I'm going to look like you in 30 seconds. And it's those times where I'm like, I've got to back up. I've got to walk away. Because there's not much use to this person if I suddenly start looking like them. I want to go there with an atmosphere and be able to release that upon them, not actually be able to pick theirs up and go, yeah, life is a bit blah. Am I saying to lie about situations and circumstances? Oh, heck no. No, 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 no. I love being honest. I love being real. God has taken me on a journey over the last 3 years of being more real than I ever imagined was possible. He's shown me aspects of my heart and things that are going on that I just wouldn't have believed. I entered into pastoral ministry in 1997. I was going to Bible college in Australia, and I was part-time on staff whilst I was studying at Bible college. And so I learned how to, you know, do the, yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm a pastor, I'm supposed to be great. Yeah, I've got this. You know, Australian culture, men don't cry. We don't shower in the same bathrooms either. I got to America and I saw a whole lot of guys really comfortable and free, and I'm going, what the heck? I grew up like, we got our own cubicle. Stunned. So God took me through this process. Oh, yeah, actually showing them my heart. There's a whole lot of things which are allowed to be seen and allowed to be shared. Actually, He wants them to be. It's amazing how free you are and how free you become when you go, actually, Dave, I'm not doing so good today, bro. It's amazing how often just the act of sharing brings the liberation. It blows me away. I can share it with my wife. I can share it with friends. I can share it with my bosses. I'm deviating already. That's never a good plan. How many of you have faced temptation at all in your life? Come on, be honest now. Well, a couple of months ago, 6 months ago, a temptation came into my world that isn't one that I normally have to ever face or deal with. It was regarding money. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I fought it. I know what's right here. I know what's right. And this temptation just kept coming and coming, and all these rational ways that I could make this money work, and I could twist this and I could twist that, and it'd be for good causes. And I'm like, this is scaring me. The moment I had made a whole lot of decisions how I was going to handle it. I was going to handle it in the upright, appropriate way. The temptation still was there. The moment I went and shared it, that temptation never showed up again. It was amazing. Amazing. Yeah. I had made the decisions of how I was going to handle the situation. I had made the upright, pure decisions about how I was going to handle it. I hadn't done anything wrong. Oh, I felt terrible because I was tempted. Ooh. Jesus was tempted in every way common to man. Amen. I went and shared. That temptation disappeared. Completely gone. It blew me away. I'm convinced, actually, it was about a week ago that God started talking to me about a couple of themes. And I'm like, God, what are you talking to me about these themes for? And I started thinking in terms of a sermon. I'm like, I'm not preaching anywhere anytime soon. Until I get a text at 5 something on Friday afternoon, and I'm like, God, your kindness to me knows no end. Thank you that I'm not going to sit down and plan and prepare all Saturday, because you had me preparing before I even knew I was speaking. And so there's been this burning, this excitement at the idea that God actually wants to come and take us from glory to glory. That God actually says, hey, you know, you might do this kind of a thing where you look at your life and you look backwards and you go, whew, I know it was there. It wasn't pretty. Jesus came in and, wow, this is it, baby. This is as much glory as I can conjure up, as I can imagine. And it is way better than that thing. Except then we read in Scripture, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, that actually His plan is to take us from glory to glory, to that point where we behold in the image of Christ as if we're looking in a mirror. That's His plan for us. I'm like, He's still got a little bit of work to do in me. I'm nowhere near that like I was, but I kind of look at the person of Jesus and I go, I'm trending. Amen, I'm trending the right way. I don't know how far and how long. It's not actually a concern. I want to make sure I'm on the right trajectory. that I'm going the right way, that actually I'm being faithful to this idea that God has, that He wants to move me from one place to another place. Am I a project? No. Am I that silly little person who needs Jesus to come and rescue all the time because I somehow can't do the growth? No. I'm an object of His affection. I am so loved by my dad. I am so loved by my God. And He's like, hey, I still believe in you. I still have hope for you. There's still more for you. Keep coming. Keep coming. I watch my little boy. He's not quite three. And he goes through these stages of, Daddy, help. Daddy, get away. Daddy, help. I want to do my shoelaces. I can't do my shoelaces. Help. Get away. Whoa. Never once am I like, kid, like, be 25 already. Yes, there's my car keys and my wallet. No. It doesn't happen like that. It's so strange. I watch my son and stuff happens in me that I just never would have dreamt of. When people used to say that to me, I used to get so frustrated before I had a child. Because I was completely unable to enter into it. I would sit down with my friends' kids, but it would just, yeah, that was a hard thing. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, so we're following this idea of from glory to glory. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, but actually, go and read the whole of chapter 3. I love it. But in chapter verse 18 in particular, he says, forgetting that which lay behind me and taking a hold. Forgetting that which lay behind me and taking hold. I press on. Forgetting that which lay behind me and taking hold. Here's the interesting thing. If you go and read the rest of the chapter, for about 15 verses, Paul talks about his past. Forgetting my past, the past that I just told you all about. Forgetting my history, the history that I just told you all about. I press on. I've always looked at that and gone, I'm supposed to somehow forget where I've come from. No, that's not what Paul's talking about. I've looked at that and gone, oh, I'm supposed to, when I become a new creation, I gave up all of my skill, I gave up all of my ability, and then I'm supposed to become this baby, this infant, and I'm supposed to then start this life process again. No. No. I'm actually just reborn, rebirthed into the truest way of understanding those gifts, the truest way of understanding those abilities. And now He wants me to fly. And so He says, hey, sunshine, how about you fly from one house to the next house, because that's about as far as you can go right now. Yeah. I'm getting there. Hey, you're doing pretty good. How about you go two houses? Yeah. What's His goal? I don't know. That I would behold, as if in a mirror, the glory of Jesus. Is it 100 houses? I don't know. How far do I have to fly, God? I don't think it's a distance thing. Sometimes we measure in ways that are so common to our culture that we forget that this wasn't written in Western, Australian, American, Judeo-Christian culture. And so when I can get past some of that stuff, then I'm free to hear it in a different way. When I can take that lens off, then I go, oh, that's what you're talking about. You're not talking about me doing 100 houses and then I've made success. Sometimes our past, we can look back and we can go, oh, it's so ugly. I want to bury it. Other times we can look back and we can go, our past is so beautiful that we keep our eyes fixed on it. Both are problematic. We can do it individually. We can do it as a congregation. We can do it as a nation. Man, remember the booming years? Instant problem with good old days or that time is we actually embrace a hopelessness for today and tomorrow. There's absolutely nothing wrong with looking back and going, that was beautiful. That was incredible. What can we learn? What can we gather? What do we pick up and take with us? In fact, God actually talked about making that a lifestyle. Why did the nation of Israel set up altars? Was it their weightlifting program? God was getting a little bit concerned that they were putting on some pounds. So, hey, guys, I'm going to get you to carry some large stones and put them together. No. So God has this plan of establishing a whole lot of memorials. Why? That we might remember. As we read through Scripture, we see Israel deviated, Israel deviated, Israel deviated. When did they deviate? When they stopped remembering. When they stopped seeing these and going, set me free. He set that person free. Oh my gosh, he set them free. I wonder if he'll set me free. He healed someone's knee. Oh my gosh, I wonder if he'll heal my knee. He used somebody else to bring healing. Oh, I wonder if he'll use me to bring healing. I love memorial stones. For me, I paint them in bright yellow. I don't want to lose them. I want to remember them. I want to celebrate them. I want to go, it was my God that made that possible. It was my God that caused that thing to come to pass. It was better than I could have imagined. Yeah. Think back to some of the incredible things I got to experience in different ministry capacities before coming over to the States. And I think about my crazy doctrine or my crazy theology from my perspective now. And yet God still did stuff. Yeah, I had an angry God mentality. And yet he still loved on people. Sometimes through me. Go figure. I want to encourage you to look back. I want to encourage you to pick up the wisdom that's available. I want to encourage you to see the character and the nature of God in your history, your personal history, your corporate history, the history of Weaverville, the history of the Trinity Alps. Look back. Pick up the wisdom. Pick up the encounters or the experiences of who God is and say, this shows me something of his character. This shows me something of his nature. And then dare to say, God, what would it look like for me to have hope that tomorrow would be more glorious than yesterday? What would it look like, God, if I take it a step further, that today would look more glorious than yesterday? I heard the Lord. I'm aware that actually time's done, so no, don't get me wrong, I'm not overly anxious or uptight about it. I'm just trying to work out what I am gonna do or not do. Let me jump straight to the prophetic word I heard the Lord say about Mountain Chapel. I heard the Lord say, it would be awesome to get a blackboard. Now, does it specifically need to be a blackboard? No. It would be awesome to get a blackboard and to write up the incredible aspects of the glorious history of Mountain Chapel. And then I heard him say, and designate a wall for all of the points that are going to be the glorious future of Mountain Chapel. Get a blackboard and write down all in point form. This is how I saw it play out in point form. All of the things that we would say are glorious about the history of Mount Chapel. Designate a wall. A wall. He's saying the best is yet to come. He's saying the best is yet to come in your life. The best is yet to come in the youth group. The best is yet to come in the children's ministry. Was there ever a day where you guys thought that the children's ministry would write a CD or create a CD? I mean, wow. What happens next? What happens next? Yeah? The plans that God has are beyond our wildest dreams and expectations. If we can, with arms open wide, filled with hope, say, yes, God, then we posture ourselves to partner with Him. If we can get rid of the yesterday was the day and embrace a new way of thinking, a new mindset which says, actually, He has more and His intent is to continue a transformative work within me, then we position ourselves to be moved. Amen? So will you stand with me? God, we want to be filled with hope, not just for a Sunday, day by day. And God, we want to be transformed. We realize sometimes that that prayer is dangerous, that sometimes it hurts. We realize that sometimes the transformation process isn't beautiful, though the result is. And God, we know that you're so committed to us. We say yes. But thank you for a promise that says you want to move us individually and corporately from glory to glory, and that the best is yet to come. God, will you deal with the thoughts in our head and in our heart that want to believe that, but right now can't? That we might fully embrace the idea that you have a brilliant future for us. And God, we hear often the stories of the history of this house. God, thank you that your plans and your future is brighter still. If you're aware that you're struggling to believe the idea of moving from glory to glory, I'm just going to give you a time of silence to have your own prayer with God. Just to be real, to put it out there with Him, and to invite Him to deal with it. got the biggest shoulders in the world, he can always handle you being real with him. Not easily offended, not easily angered. Loves you so much. God, I ask that you would fill us with joy beyond our wildest dreams, with hope beyond our wildest dreams. That we really would be a city on a hill, radiating light, radiating hope, radiating love, and all the other fruits of the Spirit that we just so want to see evident in our lives. Jesus, we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks.
Thank you.